flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to puck around and find out. We're going to talk to the Stars, and depending on how much information he volunteers, the relationship aspect of the returning Joey Erickson to the program. Welcome back, good sir.
I appreciate it. It's an absolute blast to be back with Mike and the fellas. More importantly, Mike. That's what it's all about. Pleasure to be
Thanks,
with
Joey.
You.
Thanks, Joey. My guy, Scotty Erickson over there. Black gloves, black shoes. And also, I just want to congratulate Joey because it looks like for the first time ever, he's getting some chin hair.
Yes, appreciate that.
I don't know if you can see that on YouTube or Twitch, but it's pretty awesome.
Thank you. I did shave recently, but it's starting to grow back. You know, the Corpus Christi Ice Rays are in a playoff push, so I don't know if I'm going to touch it very much longer. So, you'll have to be on the lookout for
this
it.
This is playoff beard?
As it comes in.
Yeah, this is a playoff beard.
Have you started growing hair on your cheeks yet, or is that just not happening?
No, no. I get some in the chin. It's really scraggly. It's disgusting.
How about
actually.
Your pit, your armpit? Oh,
I got decent. I got a decent amount there. My dad.
Don't you dare.
My dad will watch Locked On Stars, you know, every once in a while. He's a loyal listener, and every once in a while, he sends me a text. It's time to shave. That's
okay.
That's ugly.
Now, you mentioned Corpus Christi. Tell everybody, if they haven't been following, which they should, why you are actually here right now. Like, you're in studio with us right now.
Correct. Yeah. The Corpus Christi Ice Rays this weekend are taking on the Lone Star Brahmas, who are actually currently first place in the South Division in the North American Hockey League. For those that do not know, I am the play-by-play voice of the Ice Rays. So we're up here for a big road trip. We got 3 games this weekend in North Witchin Hills. It's at the Nitech Sports Center. So Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. I actually really encourage people to go out there because these two teams do not like each other. There's going to be fireworks, and they played last week. The Brahmas unfortunately swept Corpus Christi, so there's going to be a lot of tension this week. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's really good hockey. It's really good hockey, and you got some really talented young players. So looking forward to the series. And just looking forward to the whole week of being back home. So I get lucky that I get to come back here every once in a while.
Very nice.
You brought up not liking each other, and that yes. kind of reminded me of the injury we just had the other night.
Yes.
That's not Mark Stone
totally
saying
an accident.
That's not Mark Stone saying, "Hey, remember what Jamie Benn did to me in the playoffs, is it?" And I've been carrying this. I've been, you know, shouldering this for a while, and I just couldn't wait to take it out on you guys.
I hope it wasn't. The difference with that is that the league actually suspended Jamie Benn and held him accountable for his actions. The league said they didn't care about this play on Miro Heiskanen. I I have a lot of different opinions on the matter. Do I think he intentionally tried to injure Miro Heiskanen? No. Do I believe he intentionally put himself into that spot and into the lower half of Miro Heiskanen? Yes, I do so. The so-called tripping, as they call it, I think it's really soft. Mark Stone's a really good hockey player. I think he can stay up on his boots a little bit more. And when you slow it down, it looks worse. Everything's going to look worse when you slow it down. But he knows what he was doing is sort of where I get to a point where it's so frustrating. You know it's Miro Heiskanen. Come on. You know he's so significant and important. And to put yourself in that position where damage could have been done. And fortunately, this just came out about 30 minutes ago.
He's week to week,
this
right?
That's huge. Yeah, week to week until... Labeled as week to week until all the information is determined. That gets me giddy even hearing that, because I thought there was real worries about him being done for the season, and that would have changed my whole perspective on the Dallas Stars moving forward. Win to win feels like, or week to week feels like a giant win for the Stars right now.
Do you think Mark Stone is better at playing hockey or helping Las Vegas circumvent the salary cap?
Well, 95% is circumventing the cap. Okay. They're wonderful at it. I think GM Jim Neal should do the same here with
we have the opportunity.
Yeah. I would love for him to do the same thing. And look, Miro is so significant. You can't overstate how important his loss would be. I mean,
just look the amount of minutes.
Yeah,
you can
compare it to sort of Luka Doncic in a way. And I know basketball is completely different. He always has the ball in his hands, and he's always a threat to score. But you know, Miro plays 26-28 minutes a night, and is your best player on the ice at any given time. And like, let's just compare it to the Mavs. If Doncic was out, we'll knock on wood, for the rest of the season, you would be like, okay, you'd have different perspective on how the Mavs should go about things. Well, maybe at the deadline, we're not as aggressive in certain things like that.
With Miro being week to week, which, I mean, it sucks, but it's probably a best case scenario.
Yes.
For him, that also overwhelmingly likely means he's going to miss the Four Nations face-off. Mm-hmm. For people who are not familiar, we're doing something a little bit different here. What is the Four Nations face-off?
Yeah, so it's no All-Star game this year.
So we'll say All-Star NHL break, but I really mean Four Nations break.
Correct. This is an NHLPA thing. It's a Players Association tournament. Unfortunately, it stinks that Russia's not a part of it. I know there's some geopolitical things, but when Russia's involved in hockey, it's a good thing. So you're missing out on the Kucherovs of the world in the Ovechkins. But anyways, it's a Four Nations face-off. So you got Team USA, you got Team Sweden, Team Finland, and of course, Team Canada. It's going to be a pretty quick tournament, it feels like. I think there's going to be a lot of urgency behind it, which I think is good. And I'm super stoked for it. It's supposed to be like a precursor to the Olympics. And Otter's going to be in it, of course. Roope Hintz still, and Esa Lindell with Team Finland. So it's been a while since I've watched sort of best on best, as they call it. And some of my favorite hockey memories were growing up, were watching the Olympics. I remember the golden goal by Crosby, and I remember just sobbing in my gamer watching that game. But TJ Oshie in Sochi, the 8 times he went or whatever, and he scored. So they're just great memories, and I think it's gonna be great to set up for the Olympics too here. I think it's in Italy next year. So
one of the keys we've discussed a lot is keeping Otter fresh for the playoff run. How do you think they have managed that so far this year with DeSmith?
Smith just got a shutout.
I would say that they're pretty much on track for how they've wanted to handle the tandem. I think Pete DeBoer said at the beginning of the year they want him to be around 55 to 63 games. That feels like the perfect amount. I know in December when DeSmith was dealing with an injury, Otter had played, I think, 8 in a row at one point, so there was some people getting a little irritated with that. DeSmith's been a solid backup. He's had some really nice starts. I mean, the majority of his starts, he's really just held Dallas into a lot of his games, so they've been good.
Would we not then argue then that he's been better than solid?
Correct. Yeah, I guess that's a more apropos way of describing. I think Otter's having one of his more consistent years in his career this year. Hasn't been as much roller coaster up and down. I think he's top 10 in save percentage, which isn't a bad thing. And yeah, I think he'll be well rested and ready to go for the postseason, where I think he really shines bright in those moments. So
have you gotten the sense, not from the Stars players themselves whatsoever, but from the fan base at all, that they have been a little cooler on this regular season just because you're like, yeah, no, I know you're really good.
That's how it happens.
Let me know once we get to the playoffs because we've done this a bunch.
I would say so. I mean, even from my perspective, I'm talking about in August on Locked On Stars about the postseason, really. Like, what are the Stars going to be when the playoffs roll around? It's kind of, let's just get through the 82-game slog. Let's get through that, and we can just get to the postseason, which is a good feeling, too. There was about a decade where Dallas was always an 8 or 9 seed, and they're always, you know, at this point in the season,
last
they'd
be 2 games,
2.5 games back, or 2 points, and it's just, you're in one day, you're out the next. It's nice to be comfortable within the top three. Now it's all about matchups, right? Can Dallas get an easier road than they did last year, where they really had to take on, you know, 3 different Western Conference Finals opponents? But
who do you want to see from that perspective then?
I would love to see, I would, you know, as much as I hate to say it, and I don't think it's the best series statistically for Vegas, or for Dallas, it would be Vegas. I would love to see that series again. I remember coming out of that first round last year, I was like, that's the best hockey I've ever watched. Like, just 7 games of just pure, like, just pure hockey. I would love to see that. I'm kind of on the wild this year. I would love to see Minnesota again. That's always just so tension. There's so much tension between the two. Yes, and we own them. I would love to destroy them. Otter going into their building where he lived and he grew up in, and then boom, he just destroys the Wild.
I know we've already had the playoffs play out last year where Edmonton kicked our butts, right? In the end.
Until the inevitable.
I remember being in Denver, Colorado, where the whole Ranger season kind of started going downhill. Yeah. But the Stars were going uphill then as they beat the Avalanche that night. I was out there with Eric Nadell watching. Do you think the Stars have a better chance of going to the Stanley Cup this year than they did last year going into the playoffs? I know we know how it played out last year.
That's a great question. I would say so. I really would. I would say so. I do, there feels like there's such a hodgepodge of different teams in the West. And as much criticisms as I've had about the Stars this season, you look on paper, you know, they're 3rd in goals against. You know, they're 10th in goals for. The power play has to get better, especially at home. They're 31st. 31st in home power play makes no sense. And they've won a ton of games at home, which seems to contradict itself. But, you know, I like the Stars' chances against a Minnesota, even a Winnipeg. Edmonton, for that matter, who have really turned it on again. But I think the path for Dallas is open. And the ability for them to get better at the deadline, which you're probably going to see post Four Nations Faceoff, is when teams are really going to start getting active in looking at the market. And hopefully with Miro, we'll get a better idea of when he's going to come back. Then you can really shore up this roster. I think there's just a lot of exciting things for the second half. And I think one of the positives out of the Miro injury, which is weird to say, but you're going to see Thomas Harley now get a chance to sort of step up, be that number one. Leon Bischel, who I love. I'm curious if you guys have thoughts on him.
Just such a
man. Yeah, he's so man, just so huge. I asked my dad what he looked like when he went to a game in Percy. He's a moose among deer. And I think he really is. He's just ginormous. And I think they'll maybe let the leash off of him a bit. Not that they have been trying to shelter him, because I think they really trust him. But to see him get some more minutes over this next few weeks. And the great thing about it is it maybe came at a great time with the Miro injury that we have this little Four Nations face-off break. He gets a couple more weeks. He doesn't have to play in those games, and he gets more well-rested. And we all know Miro needs to be as rested as possible because he's going to be playing 30 minutes a night in the postseason.
All right, so I know we got a 2 months-ish, month and a half, a little over a month before we get to the trade deadline. But this team, what do they need? I know injuries can play a part of that, but what does this team need to be?
Somebody who gives a damn and makes an impact on power play.
I would love to add a scoring winger of some type with some size. Somebody like a Mason Marchment. One of the things that I think Dallas needs to improve on is just...
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A bit more of their size. I've kind of been
It feels like it's been the thing for a while.
Well, I've been harping on this a lot, too. I'm curious your thoughts. But you look at Stankoven, Bork, Blackwell, Steele. All similar archetypes, right? Mm-hmm. They all sort of play the similar style game. I think they need to add another sort of Marchment type of figure that can score, but is also hard and physical, plays with an edge, right? Gets to that line, doesn't cross it, or maybe he does, sort of like Jamie Benn every once in a while. Like that's good. So I would love to add something like that. And man, if there's an ability to go out and get a top four defenseman, if the price is right, that'd be awesome. You know, Dallas native Seth Jones has been thrown out there. He costs a lot of money. It's not going to work probably with the cap unless Chicago wants to retain some of that salary. But I think he would be interested.
Which Jim Neal has gotten teams to do before.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, he's a wizard. I think he could possibly talk him into it. So we'll see how it all shapes out.
Joey, you keep saying four nations.
Yeah.
If they added three more nations, don't you think they'd have a theme song? Alec?
Song's called Seven Nation Army, Kevin.
This would be the hockey.
That'd actually be pretty
soon
sick.
As
imagine a hype
this
video.
This would be hockey.
As soon as I heard you whisper and I heard two words of what you were whispering to Alec, I was like, I can see where this is going.
He was plotting over here. He wasn't even engaged. He was plotting the whole time.
What an iconic baseline that is, though. That is excellent. All right, well, as long as we're talking ridiculousness.
I couldn't remember how many nations there were in this song, to be honest, because like, is this a
Seven
song?
Seven Nation Army? Yeah. So we don't get the Utah Yeti or the Utah Yetis.
I wanted to talk
Stockton's.
About this. I did.
So we've got three other
Malones.
No, none options. Of those names.
You can stick with the Utah Hockey Club.
Trouts.
Go with the Utah Mammoth or the Utah Wasatch.
Is that how you pronounce it? The Wasatch?
That's the green stuff you use for sushi.
Is it not?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I like Wasatch.
Okay.
But that probably doesn't sound right.
Because there's a mountain range named that in Utah.
Oh, is there?
Okay. I just feel like from an awareness standpoint, I don't know if that's what I would go with.
What about the Van Horns?
Keith Van Horn?
Yeah, big time.
I was hoping for the Yeti, but I heard there's some trademark issues with that one cooler company. I think it has to be the Mammoth.
What do you think if they did? Mammoth is cool, but isn't Greg Ostertag cooler?
No.
He refs games in
that's
high school.
That's also because
now.
My wife wanted to marry him, so I might be biased.
Oh, that's tough.
And just think, you'd have Greg, I don't know clue if he can skate or not. I mean, I know he knocked his teeth out as a kid going down a water slide.
I've heard there was
your thoughts, Corey.
Well, he did. He was close to 7 feet tall, and the pool was only like 6 or 7 feet deep. He didn't think about his height when he went down head first.
Did they not have no diving signs?
It was like at a friend's house.
Oh.
But he just forgot how tall he was.
His friend really let him down right there.
Yeah, just go ahead, dive right there.
Yeah, if Chris Young did that in the 6-foot pool, his teeth would fall out too.
Anyways, I was going to say, I've heard some real rumblings. Like, they're really okay with keeping it. The Utah Hockey Club. Like, the HC, like, sort of like the, you know, the football soccer thing. But I kind of hate
Reggie likes it.
That's
why he's in Houston.
Would you like the Utah Yeti or Yetis?
Yeah, I would. I would rock with that. I think the Mammoth would be cool. I'm honestly not thrilled with the three they've come up with. These are the finalists. I feel like there could just be a lot better. But again, I'm not in charge.
You've nixed all mine.
The Stockton's would be interesting.
And I sort of hate myself because I have a joke that I want to make, and I think it's going to be so bad it should be off air.
We got to go to break somehow.
Okay. Coming up next, would they consider the Utah Flintstones? Because when they go home, they can make those ladies' beds rock.
Yabba dabba doo!
Coming up next, NFL overreaction reality. Maybe Joey chooses to do something better with his time. And Mike likes it. Next, right here on The Fan.
But they snap it. Snap it. Blitz again. Stroud in trouble. Karlaftis is there. Kansas City ball.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Joey Erickson with us today, or at least for a while. He's got nothing else to do. Yeah, he's going to hang out. So how about we do some NFL overreaction or reality? Gentlemen, let's start with this. Overreaction or reality? With a victory in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs
win.
Will clinch the greatest run of football in NFL history.
What do you mean?
Now.
This season?
I agree.
Okay.
See, done.
Look at that.
Next.
So it would be the first three-peat. They're the first team to get there five times in six seasons. And so people like to trot out this nonsense about how the Patriots had an 18-year dynasty. That's a stupid argument. And if somebody tells that to you, educate them.
Noted.
They won Super Bowls for the seasons of 01, 03, 04. And then they won again
dynasty.
In 14. Yes, agree in that short term.
10-year stretch without
they didn't. They made it to the Super Bowl twice in 10 years and lost both of them.
Mahomes
and then
would
they,
never.
Then yeah. they won again in 14, 16, 18. Those are two separate dynasties anchored by Tom Brady because he was really, really good at, you know.
Spygate for the first dynasty. Exactly.
And then Deflategate.
Deflategate yes. for the second dynasty. They Absolutely. Had to gate something. They're like, we have lost the gate.
So I will argue, and I want to know if you guys think overreaction or reality, a win next Sunday, yep. this is the greatest run in NFL history.
I will agree with you on this, in that Cowboys era was nice but shorter considering Patrick Mahomes has gone to seven of these suckers. So the other thing, though,
I couldn't believe the Patriots had done it eight times, so they're still short of the record.
Yes.
During that game, they answered the question.
Which is incredible.
During quarterback, Mahomes, while he was doing his training, he was like, we still haven't been perfect, though. I think he's still hunting a perfect season. I think he's like, that's what scares me is they still, they got to what, if they hadn't lost the one game, I think they would have tried to finish that one against the Broncos at the end of the year to try and be undefeated because he still wants that to put that on the ledger. So I think you might even be more concerned next year after this.
It's remarkable what the Chiefs have done. Year in and year out. I completely agree with you. They'd be the only team that ever three-peat. The Chiefs Pete, as some That's are right. calling it. The Chiefs Pete. Mahomes is incredible. Sounds I think stupid. With this win, too, I think Mahomes starts getting into that conversation where some would take him over Brady
Whoa.
As a goat. I think that is a real conversation that could start to occur. I don't know if I'm quite there, but I'll be honest. I love watching Pat Mahomes, the way he manipulates referees. He manipulates True. The game, other
manipulates
players.
The voters of Super Bowl MVP. Well,
that, the slowest, gotcha. Best running quarterback ever.
Yes. He just rushes 11 times all of a sudden. I think you're right, too. They're sort of in a mode where they just don't care for four right. months out of the season. And they're like, okay, time to use Kelce now here a little bit. Time
and they
to
didn't
use these
care
other guys.
15-1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
You brought this
up. I mean,
up.
I know they did care. But
so we kind of got Joey's answer. So I'm going to skip down to a different question. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and Mahomes is named the MVP, you will think that he is better than Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the consistency in this stretch. And,
for sure.
You know, from his first year, yeah, I would put him in that category.
Yeah, he's been amazing since his first year in the league. That's what's remarkable. I don't know if any other quarterback has
first
kind of jumped.
Quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jaden Daniels, of course, had a great year. But, yeah, Mahomes, just the stretch is
unbelievable.
I would look at it this way, and I contradict myself on – You always look at prime rather than longevity.
Sure.
Yeah, longevity, we don't know. There's been so many quarterbacks that have been able to play close to 20 years to rack up
yes.
stats beyond stats.
And but, that 18-year run of Brady is incredible.
Yeah, so we don't know if he's going to play that long to get close to kind of passing yards, total touchdowns, all of those things. But I've never seen a quarterback better in my life.
Well, let's say if he reaches it in the next 8 years, maybe he matches Brady, right, for Super Bowl. He feels like, I don't need to play till I'm 43, right? Like, couldn't that enter his brain? He's like, I can just retire early and be safe. I know quarterbacks are protected, but...
But the Super Bowl thing is weird for me, just with quarterbacks in the NFL in general, because it doesn't seem like any other sport, that's how we judge who's the greatest. So who's the greatest basketball player of all time? oh, it's Michael Jordan. He doesn't have anywhere close to the most titles.
Yeah, it's Robert Horry.
Who is the...
Bill Russell.
Big Shot Bob.
Yeah, who is the greatest hockey player of all time? Wayne Gretzky. He doesn't have the most titles. Who's the greatest baseball player of all time? Well, whether you think it's Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, they don't have the most titles.
Barry Bonds.
But, Trout. Yeah. But when it comes to football, like the most Super Bowls is equated to being the best, and none of the other sports operate like that.
Yeah. I'm curious because football is sudden death. There's only that one game you have to perform.
That could be.
Where the other sport, you know, it's a series, and I think it says a lot. And you look at the Chiefs, too, about all the close games they have won, too. You know, within a touchdown, they just consistently do it. They always win in these tight games. They always find a way to win. And Josh Allen had a chance to drive the Bills down the field to win the game the other night. He doesn't get it done. If Mahomes is on the other side of that situation, he probably does it. Finds a way to score.
The other thing, too, as much of it is the quarterback being in an individual spot in it, it is such a team game. And looking at his appearances in the Super Bowl, the year he had the worst offensive line, they lost. They lost that Super Bowl. They couldn't even keep him standing upright. And so having that much talent around him all this time, because look at, was it 2022's draft class for Veach? They're all starters and all like the all pros and all this is like right up there at the top, and they're all starting for this team. It's a wonderful draft right there. So the entire organization's built the right way.
I'm stealing this segment from Kevin for one question.
Okay.
It's what's called overreaction or reality?
Yes, Mike.
That's a great line. Overreaction or reality? If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, Andy Reid's the greatest head coach in NFL history.
It's interesting.
We kind of went the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes route. Now I'm going to go Bill Belichick isn't, but now I'm going to push you on this one.
Consider his all-time record, how often he's been to championship games, not just Super Bowls, but championship games. I mean, like, it's got to be right there next to whoever.
Okay, and see, I'll argue in the Super Bowl era, I'll listen to that more. For me, it just feels impossible to surpass Vince Lombardi. He was a head coach for 9 years and won 5 championships, including they started the new AFC-NFC championship game, which is what a lot of people called it the first 2 years. He won those two to have his own three-peat.
Yeah, you loved watching all those teams too, didn't you?
I definitely did not see any of those, but I'm saying 5 titles in 9 years is pretty damn special. In the Super Bowl era, I would definitely listen to that.
What, firemen and plumbers playing football back then?
Yeah, it's weird how nobody used to
with
be good.
With J.J. Redick?
Yeah, nobody used to be good at
leather helmets.
Yeah, okay, and that's...
That guy's playing Bronny James.
That's a good point.
Shooting 6% from the field. What would Bronny do?
I'm glad he got in the other night. They got him some reps, though, which is good.
Yeah.
J.J. was like, that was a terrible decision.
Yeah, he's like, those missed shots and turnovers aren't going to happen themselves.
Hey, he had 30 the other night in the G League. Private jet over to Philly.
I saw... Work him in. Somebody post, if Bronny goes 1 for his next 15, he improves his shooting percentage in the NBA.
Gross.
What the hell? Gross. Now, I've got a stat that kind of goes with what you were saying.
Okay.
Overreaction or reality, to kind of tie into this, Andy Reid will eventually have the most coaching wins in NFL history. So, and this includes regular and postseason. So he just got number 300. And I guess he's up to 301 now. And the record is held by Don Shula at 347. So he's at 301. The record's 347. I know the Chiefs.
And how many was Belichick short of that?
14.
Okay.
And so it doesn't feel like 46 wins is a lot, but like you would have to have.
Including playoffs.
Yeah,
seasons.
Three more Chiefs seasons.
Yeah.
Feels like it'll get you there.
I guess I'd say 4, right? If you average 12. You do it.
This also includes the playoffs. Oh,
yeah.
So,
yeah, but I guess I'm doing that in case they have a year where they don't want a playoff game or whatever. So 4 more years. This probably isn't fair. I look at his weight and wonder about his health.
I got
you. But he's been a healthy guy. He's an older guy. He likes eating cheeseburgers, it sounds like.
He does.
You too.
And then
he's got State Farm on his side, though.
Dude, yeah.
Ooh, good point.
Did you see that one commercial where they're like, what did you like about this commercial? And it's they're asking Chiefs players, and one Chiefs player goes, Patrick Mahomes wasn't in it. And the lady who's running it goes, yeah, that's rare.
That is kind of funny. Isn't that like the plot of, in a certain way, Celtic Pride, where there's two guys – kidnap Damon Wayans. Yes. And they're like, hey, we'll let you go if we can get through all the channels without seeing one commercial with you. And didn't happen.
Doesn't work that way. Sorry, I'm looking up here, Kevin, and Stephanie McMahon doesn't look like the Stephanie McMahon I remember. So.
That's before face surgery.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
My apologies.
I can't possibly confirm nor deny.
Well, people that are rich like changing their face.
Let's go back to Mike's segment, overreaction or reality.
Okay.
Overreaction reality. Plastic surgery on the face is a mistake.
I think that's a reality because I'll tell you what. Whenever you see... Because, like, some of these people on, like, some of the reality shows that Jess likes, I'm like, they have to know,
Courtney
right?
Cox.
Everybody knows that you do not look natural. I think there are other parts where you can fix things up that have a better success rate than the face surgery.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I would agree with
that. Like a tummy tuck?
Yeah.
I want one of those.
Me too.
Lip filler.
Butt lift.
God. Yeah. Okay. Next.
Ab job.
I was going to say something. Thank you for not.
Do you get a six pack?
All right. NFL overreaction or reality. The Eagles are a better team than the one that took the field in Super Bowl 57.
I think so.
Okay. Go ahead. And then we can expand wherever you want.
And they're more dynamic offensively and they're better defensively as well.
Now, the defense is interesting because the interior of the defensive line, not so good the last time. This time, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams.
Here's the part that I don't know, Corey. You're going to have to help me out, and maybe you can too, Erickson. Their center position is in a situation right now with injuries, and obviously they lost their center from
Kelsey.
Last time. Yeah, but Kelsey's still in the game, just on the
Jason
other side.
Kelsey.
So offensive line-wise, I know they're good. I'm not trying to say they're not good. That might be the one spot where maybe they were better in the last Super Bowl.
I agree. I would agree with you. Even though there's still a lot of those same guys back, that one spot in the middle that they use so frequently is a little bit weaker than it was. But they're still like they're just a solid team from top to bottom on the roster.
Yeah, both of these defensive lines are going to create some havoc. Chandler Jones may have a field day, right? Or is it Chris Jones?
Chris Jones.
Yeah, may have a field day. Saquon, of course, is just unreal for Philly. It sort of feels like he's going to be the X factor of this Super Bowl, like whether he has an opportunity to go out and completely run rampant. If the Chiefs can sort of hold him in check and force Hurts to sort of do a bit more, you feel like Kansas City's going to have a good opportunity. I'm just curious to see how it all plays out. I don't know if I guess it all comes down to the fact too, can the Eagles pressure Mahomes? You mentioned that first Super Bowl he was in, like that Mahomes couldn't do anything because he was just running for his life the whole time. Can Philly sort of recreate that against Mahomes?
And that might work into the next question. So let's go opposite team, opposite viewpoint. NFL overreaction or reality, the Chiefs are a worse team than the one that took the field in Super Bowl 57.
That was without Tyreek Hill, right?
No, they correct. They were without.
I believe that is correct.
Okay, so that's the one player. Like, if he was still on the team, I would say, hey, that made where Patrick Mahomes would roll out to the right by time and throw it 60 yards across the whole field. Yeah. But he can't do that anymore because he doesn't have Tyreek Hill to chase those down or trust. Tyreek Hill was weird in those things where he knew he could go to some random place that no other receiver would go to and no other quarterback would try that throw and it would work out. I'm going to say they're better defensively.
Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Chris Jones, and that is a constant.
But even the guys that they had then for that Super
are
Bowl
better.
Have grown into the system. They're more unique team because, like Mike just pointed out, it's not just all on Patrick Mahomes. There is a lot that he is the source for, but defensively they can carry their own, and then they have a lot of different tools. Hell, they went to Pirine for the final play.
They just bring in Hunt all of a sudden, and
they can go to so many different weapons.
I would say the roster's probably better overall. I think what Mike was saying, they don't have that maybe ability to just have splash plays.
They're not a home run hitting team.
And you know what, Fangio has. and when he was with the Broncos, did a great job of showing everybody the template to beat Mahomes and take the top off of that for them. Say, hey, you can't throw over us. We're not going to let you. And the Eagles have done that a lot this year. Actually, Fangio's record against Patrick Mahomes is pretty good. So make sure you keep an eye on that, because they're not going to have that opportunity as frequently, because Fangio says our safeties are staying back.
Now, this one kind of factors in the Chiefs, but let's get more specific since y'all mentioned the offensive line. Overreaction or reality, the Chiefs' left tackle situation could cost them the Super Bowl because,
again,
while there are bright spots on the offensive line, to be sure, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, you look at that left tackle spot. They have been rotating with Morris and I think it's Swamasha. Sorry if I'm getting that incorrect. And then they signed DJ Humphreys. Well, DJ Humphreys hasn't played, and so they've had to put Joe Thuney in his place. But then that automatically weakens potentially the interior, of the line. So overreaction or reality, it could be the left tackle that cost them this Super Bowl.
I think they.
It's just a question, Mike.
I think that I'm going to go, what's in between overreaction and reality?
There is none.
All right, then I'm going to go with overreaction, because I think they've been able to manage that most of this year anyway. And I think Andy Reid's smart enough to draw plays up away from that, to help defend away from that. So I think that's a little, it's not too much of an overreaction.
Yeah, you're kind of living in the gray area right there.
Yeah.
That's what the segment's for, so there can be no gray area.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think Mahomes can overcome a lot of that is where I sort of stand on the position. And I'm curious, I feel like Xavier Worthy might have a huge game. They're going to use him in a lot of different ways to get him out in space and maybe take some of that pressure off. I'm curious. I mean, you may see Mahomes drop back, get out of his hand quickly, just get it to the playmakers. Kelsey's probably going to show up as he usually does in these in these big moments. And it's going to be a great chess match.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of Pacheco and Kareem Hunt for 3 yard runs.
Okay,
to set up other things.
I wanted to throw this out there real quick, if that's okay with you, Mike. So this is off of football. Notre Dame college basketball coach Micah Shrewsbury.
Fighting Irish.
That's right. So Notre Dame beat Georgia Tech 71-68 on Tuesday night. But in the postgame presser, Shrewsbury talked about a text he got from a number that is not in his phone. So let's go to cut number 9. Essentially, my question is, would this motivate you guys?
I got this text at 10:15. So obviously the game was still going. Whoever sent this, I appreciate you. Thank you for being cool. WTF, am I watching? Do you have any plays written up? Because, holy S, your team is unorganized as hell. What are they paying you for?
It's disorganized, not unorganized.
So you think even the way he discussed it.
I'm a little upset with that
part. Okay.
I'm not even taking the credibility from that person, because what do they know? They barely know how to use the English properly.
It seems like he enjoyed this text. Would this be the kind of text that would motivate you?
I probably would just pass right by it, but he got a text?
Yes.
That's the interesting thing.
From a number he didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know the person. Yeah, I thought it was somebody that was close to him, possibly.
No, he doesn't know who it is.
Trying to fire him up.
No.
I'd probably awesome. Use it. I'd probably just store it in the bank,
That's
dude.
Bulletin board material right there.
Absolutely.
In the locker room. Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And now, it's time for Mike Likes It.
Okay, so let me go back to baseball nuggets here, if that's okay. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. I was talking about Jake Berger and Nathaniel Lowe, and we had on Keith Law. And Keith Law has written a report that he wasn't a big fan of the Jake Berger move.
Yes.
And he gave his opinion. I'm not saying his opinion is wrong. He's using stats and he's using his eyes to say, hey, Nathaniel Lowe, we talked about, maybe underappreciated here.
I agree with that.
But you look at your first base situation, and Nathaniel Lowe is going to do a solid job in Washington. But like I said, last year he had 33 extra base hits, 16 doubles, 16 home runs, and one triple. Jake Berger brings a lot more power, extra base hits to that position, and he won't get fastballs blown by him. And that was Nathaniel Lowe's problem. If you could throw the ball hard inside or hard up, he just couldn't get to it. His bat speed was not there to get to. He lived off of breaking balls. Well, in a way, at times, so does Adolis Garcia. And at other times, so does Jonah Heim. And at other times, so does a couple of your other hitters. It was such a, in a way, a slider hitting team because of injuries and then because of where your team was. It's like we can't have a lineup that six out of our nine hitters possibly struggle with 95 or above. We have to make that something that other teams don't go and go, man, just get a guy throwing 96 and they're done for this inning. And maybe the next inning too. It's just when Corey Seager, you know, or possibly Wyatt Lankford, get up, we have to worry about a guy that can hit a fastball.
That wasn't the case in the World Series season, correct? I feel like they were a pretty decent fastball hitting team. Or am I mistaken on that?
But Lowe still struggled.
Adolis took advantage of sliders, but was better with the fastballs. Just last year, he just seemed to really struggle with it. But Berger does well against fastballs in the zone and hard fastballs. Well, you look at his 29 home runs, 23 doubles, and one triple, and now you're looking at, you know, my math is 53 extra base hits to 33 extra base hits. That's a lot. You are going to see more strikeouts. You are going to see less walks. But when it goes to OPS and you look at last year, on base plus slugging, and this is a big stat in today's game. You can like it or not like it. That's your opinion. But Jake Berger's OPS was 760 and Nathaniel Lowe's was 762. It's approximately the same. And now, I don't like this, but it is what it is. The Rangers are going to try their best to stay under a luxury tax, a $241 million luxury tax number, and they're at $235 million, if I have my numbers correct.
Yes, that's what I've heard, too.
Well, Jake Berger, I'm not saying he's on league minimum, but he's close, too. And Nathaniel Lowe, I'm sorry I don't have the number in front of me. I think he got 10 in arbitration or agreed to before arbitration, to that, or that's going to be a right around he makes. So for $9 million less, their numbers are different. How they get to it is different, but their OPS is exactly the same.
Wow.
So that's where I wanted to go with this. I get that you're getting a different hitter. He walks less. He doesn't get on base as much. He has a lower batting average. Now, he did have more hits than Nathaniel Lowe, but Nathaniel Lowe had 40 more walks. So I just want to say, Jake Berger is a very different, and it doesn't mean he can't improve. It doesn't mean he can't also lower those numbers. But Jake Berger, as far as I understand, will be batting somewhere 6th, 7th, or 8th in your lineup.
Okay.
Nathaniel Lowe was batting 4th in your lineup. So you're taking this guy and saying, yes, we get this. But we're like, Nathaniel Lowe, I love Nathaniel. He just couldn't be a four-hole hitter. You can't have a four-hole hitter who gets 30 to at most 40 extra base hits. That's just tough to really have big innings in that situation. And like to your point, Joey, is you did have huge innings with Nathaniel Lowe in your lineup in 2023. So I'm not trying to say you can't because you saw how great that offense could be in the playoffs and the regular season in 23. But I do like Jake Berger. I think he can improve a little bit on his walks. The other thing, too, is what are his opportunities going to be? Because in Miami at times last year, if they were playing in close games, you might go, hey, be careful here. If we need to pitch around Berger to get to, I'm going to be honest, I don't know who.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this. You're going to be pitching to Jake Berger. Jake Berger is going to have a lot of opportunities because I'm going to assume in front of him are guys like Adolis Garcia, possibly Jock Peterson, that you're going to say, hey, let's be a little bit careful here. And then maybe Evan Carter's right behind him. And so now you're like, hey, this is the guy we have to go after. You have to get him out. Where I get, he obviously did not draw a lot of walks last year. It'll be interesting to see if the Rangers can work on Jake Berger's strike discipline. I want you being aggressive, but I want you being aggressive with balls in the zone. Now I want to go to another Ranger who, I'm going to be honest, I've been buying quite a bit of his baseball cards.
Is it Wyatt again?
It's Wyatt Lankford. So they came out with the top 10 left fielders right now. Now, Yordan Alvarez is number one, which defensively, he's horrible. But offensively, he is the best, yeah. Right? When he's healthy, Yordan Alvarez in Houston's the best. And he might not be a left fielder. If they do sign Bregman back, it sounds like Jose Altuve is going to be the left fielder for the Houston Astros this year. But
man, you see him going up on the wall.
But Wyatt Lankford was sixth. Yeah. Oh, he leaped as high as he could. He took away the 8-foot home run. Yeah, but good for him. Yeah. He's short and awesome at baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
You can't say that about Bryce Young in football. So
he's had some flashes, but yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't see him over those tall guys. When it comes to Wyatt Lankford, I'm sorry. I shouldn't make those short jokes. He's sixth already. And now Jackson Churio's fifth. I do think for the next 10 years, if those guys stay at those positions, there is, I hope, like Keith Law wondering about Evan Carter's health. Hey, look, I hope that Evan Carter stays healthy. I understand the concerns. There is a small possibility over time you move Wyatt Lankford to center field. But if he stays in left field for the next 10 years, I think him and Jackson Churio have a battle of who's the best left fielder in the game for a long time. I think that's the battle coming up in baseball for that position is Churio, who's 20 years old, I believe, and man, Wyatt Lankford, who I think just turned 23, that those two guys are going to dominate who's the better left fielder in baseball for a long time.
I look forward to that one. I mean, when you have that guy and you're getting to watch it on a daily basis,
and even be in the mix.
Yeah, make that comparison. It's a blast.
Yeah, so I'm going to say this again, you know, kind of when we do like what's your favorite grapefruit and also a sports opinion.
That'll be tomorrow.
Because, you know, the grapefruit league's about to start and mm-hmm. the cactus league. So that's why I said grapefruit.
This is a new segment, grapefruit
or not.
A hipster, for my possibilities, has a brother who was just invited to the Grapefruit League this spring training. I need to find his name real quick.
Okay.
Because that's neat. A cool little story.
Okay. I just keep thinking, and I'm influenced by other people rather than me. I've heard so many positive things, and I'll tell you one of the ones that I heard, and it was Josh Smith. I get it. He's his teammate. But Josh Smith was like, he's about to be the best.
Wow.
So, and not just like the best left fielder, he's about to like take over this league. And that's high praise. And that's tough, right? You have Shohei Ohtani, you have sure. Mookie Betts, you have Aaron Judge. You have so many great players in this league. But I do think I've seen so many people underrating Wyatt Lankford. I do think sixth is about where he is on that list. And I'm sorry, I don't have the list in front of me. It was a video. I couldn't find just the overall list. But I remember he was sixth and Jackson Churio was fifth and Yordan Alvarez was first. I do think he's going to be an MVP candidate this year. I would not bet on him being the MVP. I think that's too high of a leap. But I think getting votes and finishing in the top 10 is definitely doable. And look, if the Rangers are going to be successful, Corey Seager needs to be a top 3 MVP finisher. Yes. And if not, win it. And I get, like right now, Gunnar Henderson, it said, you know, best shortstop, Gunnar Henderson was one. Corey Seager was two. I heard while I was sick and out. You guys talked about that right. List. Obviously, Bobby Witt, I thought that was low for Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh,
too.
Oh, for sure.
But you have Bobby Witt Jr., you have Gunnar Henderson, you have Aaron Judge, and to me, you have Corey Seager. Those are the four people. I guess you could throw Yordan Alvarez if he's healthy. Those would be the five people that I would say are your five top candidates for MVP in the American League this year. But Corey Seager needs to, at the end of the year, be in the top five at least. And I would say top three, because if you're going to win 90 games and be one of those teams that gets a bye or a team that you think, hey, they could do a lot of damage in the playoffs, Corey Seager is going to need to stay healthy quite a bit and then finish there. And then I think the wild card is that Wyatt Lankford is like, I'm not going to vote him for MVP, but yeah. I'm going to now, when I get to my third place vote or my fifth place vote or my sixth place vote, I got to really start considering Wyatt Lankford on that board. And then almost like if you look at Bobby Witt Jr.'s path, which I hate saying this because I love him to death, then I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think that people are starting to overrate Bobby Witt Jr. Wow. Just a hair yeah. in this. Now, I do think he was underrated on the top 10 shortstops yeah. right now.
But that felt like an outlier.
They're starting, if you look at his path, Bobby Witt Jr. had an okay rookie year. It was solid. There were things that were solid, but like I think his OPS was under 700. And then the next year it was like 722, 730 something, which is like, that's solid. And then last year was just a takeoff year. I think people are starting to say he's now Mike Trout because he was compared to Mike Trout out of the draft. And that is because Mike Trout finished top two in MVP voting for seven straight years.
That's amazing.
And won three or four. I can't remember if he won. And he lost to Miguel Cabrera when Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown.
Yeah. And some people argue he should have won that
year. If you look at war and you look at other things, you would say, well, they just went based off of the Triple Crown, gave it to him when Mike Trout had a better year. But I do think Bobby Witt Jr. now is starting to go like, all right, now you got to for seven straight years be first or second in MVP. I feel like card-wise, we're starting to get to the point where I'm like, man, I get it. I get how awesome he is. But I think the standard that you're holding Bobby Witt Jr. to might just be too high of a standard. But I think Wyatt Langford's going to have the ascension the way that Bobby Witt Jr. did. First year, solid year, but maybe expectations weren't met. Second year, gets better, and we start noticing, hey, it's coming along here. And then last year was Bobby Witt Jr., his third year in the league, is where it was just an explosion. And I think Wyatt Langford's going to have a similar path.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, C-Block's coming up in just a second, but
let's get something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10 will win a pair of tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett on May 7th at the Dickies Arena in Fort Worth. If you don't win today, you can call more, and potentially win tomorrow because we're doing this all week long. Then,
like a rebel,
it's the C-Block.
Oh man, there is some interesting breaking news about a kicker, and maybe this is why he had a bad season. Next on the Fan.
Before we do that, before we get to kickers, let's get to your windows. If you've been kicking it down the road and you said, oh, I know I have leaky windows, or I know that I have old windows and they don't really hold in the temperature of the house very well, it's time. It's time to give Dax Kirks a call at Best Buy Windows and Siding. Look, we know it's the wintertime and it can get cold and you're letting the cold in. And in the summertime, you're letting that heat in. It's costing you a lot of money. Best Buy Windows and Siding can get you 10 windows installed for just $59.50. Zero down, 0% financing with approved credit. Let's keep the cold out this wintertime and the savings in. Best Buy Windows and Siding, 469 Windows, or go to their website, bestbuywindowsandsiding.com today.